What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Tomorrow on Grant and Danny, we are hitting the road for a Friday field trip, Uptown Alley in Manassas, live show, 2 to 6:30, food, drinks, fellowship, little pep rally ahead of Commanders Lions. Show today and tomorrow from Uptown Alley, brought to you by our friends, the law firm Kondorian Murad.
As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Kondorian Murad can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
It is time to get the latest on the Lions. Want to dive deep into their operation and scout Detroit with a member of their radio crew. And to help us learn about Detroit, we've got Lomas Brown, former outstanding longtime NFL player who breaks the Lions down on their radio network. So, Lomas, why don't we start with a bit of an injury update? We did see that Kevin Zeitler has been ruled out. How big of a deal is that? And then what about on the defensive side where Ennis Rakestraw, the corner, is questionable? How important is he?
Yeah, you know, we've been dealing with this all season long, so it's just something else that we have to overcome. The team seemed like it's been able to overcome injuries all year long. With Zeitler, we know that Christian Mahogany, who started one game this year for Kevin earlier this year, he came in and did a wonderful job. So I think he should be able to fill in pretty adequately for Zeitler. And Ennis Rakestraw, he's pretty much been, you know, a special teams guy for us. Hadn't really been in the rotation. So I don't think Ennis, you know, is a big question mark for us either. So this is probably as healthy as we're going to get and we're going to be facing Washington Saturday night.
So I want to get to the defense in a second here, Lomas. But offensively, this group is incredible, talking about Detroit. There's an answer for everything. How would you like to be beaten today? You know, you want big plays, you want running game, you want, pinpoint passing, quick game. Whatever your poison is, they have it for you, right?
And you know what?
What's that?
I've had the privilege of watching this firsthand. I'm telling you, man, some of the play designs from Ben Johnson, they're just astonishing. You just wonder how this guy even thought of some of the stuff that he does. And we're talking about from formation, we're talking motion, we're talking all that alignment. And as you all know, he'll use anybody. We use linemen. It doesn't matter. They throw passes. They run routes. It's just been so fun to watch. And it's just been so fun to watch how Ben Johnson has just evolved over these years here to where he is right now. And to be honest with you, he'll probably be the next guy that you hear has a coaching tree. Mm. I could certainly see Ben Johnson having a coaching tree sooner than later.
So, Lomas, I had to look it up. It's a guy named Jack Fox who's Detroit's punter. I hope to see him maybe a couple times at least this weekend. So there have been times where Detroit hasn't gotten a touchdown or hasn't gotten a first down. When it's not perfect, when it's not going great, if there is a weakness, and again, this is all relative because that's the best offense in the sport, when they're not clicking, what's the problem?
I'm telling you, if it's not clicking, it's because our run game isn't going. That's it. Everything is predicated off the run for us, as you guys know. Sonic and Knuckles are very, very good. I say the best O-line in the league, but our very good offensive line. Like I say, the creativity of Ben Johnson, you know, Hank Fraley leading the offensive line group, Scotty Montgomery leading those running backs. You know, you could just go on and on, but that's what it is for us. That's our identity. That's what we come into the games looking to do, is to dominate the line of scrimmage. And once we do that, then everything else comes off of the run for us. Our play action passes, screen passes, just everything comes up off of that once we're able to establish the run.
You mentioned the running back tandem. With David Montgomery hurt recently, Jahmyr Gibbs became a bell cow, and he took his game to another level. He rushed for 100 yards in three straight games. He averaged close to 130 yards the last 2 weeks. Are they going to reinsert Montgomery into his old role right away, or do you think like he'll spell Gibbs and they'll kind of keep doing what they were doing the last couple of weeks with Jahmyr?
I look for David, and like he's seen three doctors. They've cleared him. They gave him the 100%. So to me, that shouldn't shorten the playbook. That should be able to put David back into the same form that he was in when he left the game. Now, he may not get as many touches in this game as he normally gets because, again, Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes, that coaching staff, they err on the side of caution. So I don't think they want to just throw that heavy load right back on them, especially after him missing, 4 or 5 weeks. But, again, once they see what he can do and feel comfortable with it, you better believe that workload will increase more and more. So I think it's smart to say that you'll see a little bit more Jahmyr Gibbs, maybe 60-40 Jahmyr Gibbs over David Montgomery coming back for this game Saturday night.
Longtime NFL great Lomas Brown with us here on Grant and Danny. So it used to be, Lomas, if you moved Jared Goff's feet around a little bit, you know, maybe hit him a couple times and kind of flushed him, get him off rhythm, you might be able to get a fumble, a turnover, an interception, or whatever. I wonder if you think that's still true. Yeah, good luck against that offensive line, kind of as you mentioned, with all the different answers. But I wonder if that's still true, and if it's not, how has he kind of matured past that as a quarterback that's had a bunch of great years in a row now?
I'm telling you, Jared got wheels. Jared has wheels, man. He has evolved this year to where he would pull it down and he would get up out of there. And Jared has gotten us a couple of first downs this year, big first downs. He's, like I say, avoided some troubles this year by using his feet. So that's the evolution that I see with a Jared Goff. Now, I'm not saying he's Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or any of that, but he's not that sitting target that a lot of people think. He can get out of trouble if he has to get out of trouble. Say a poor man's Patrick Mahomes, you know, when he has to. But he hadn't had to do that a lot this year, again, because of the protection that he's been afforded by this offensive line. But I think that's been the other evolution, and I'm telling you, don't be shocked if Ben Johnson is sitting back watching Jared use his legs and come up with a couple of gadget plays for Jared. I wouldn't be shocked if he used them, and it's not Jared using his arms, it's Jared using his legs.
You know better than I do, but I would be shocked, just to put that on the record, if Jared Goff is running around and making plays like he's Jaden Daniels.
I'll take that, by the way, sight unseen. Yeah. Let him run.
Do that, and don't throw it to Amonra, and don't throw it to Jamison Williams. Hey, I want to go to the other side of the ball, because I get why we've talked so much about the Lions offense. They're the number one scoring offense in the NFL. But to me, the whole chance for Washington here, and the reason this is actually going to be a game, is with all the injuries on defense, The Lions are just not that good on that side of the ball. They had an inspired, brilliant effort against the Vikings that everybody saw on primetime, and I think there's this feeling like they fixed their defense. But over the last 5 weeks of the regular season, they were second to last in the NFL in yards allowed per game. They were 28th in points. They were last in opposing quarterback rating. They were second to last in passing yards. Why do you feel confident that the Lions' defense is going to get stops against a really good top-five Washington offense?
So let me go back to Washington, and you're right. So let me go back to this. Now, I say what we want to do, but you guys got Deron Payne and you guys got Jonathan Allen in there, two exceptional defensive tackles that could, you know, what we always say, best team on game day. So these guys could wreck havoc in there and could cause us to have to change our game plan. That's what playoff football is all about. Person stepping up, a person coming up with a superhuman effort. You know, so I'm nervous about the middle of your defense with Payne, Allen, and Bobby Wagner there. You guys got some decent cover guys back there too, so I'm not taking anything away from that defense. They could stand up and cause problems. The reason why offensively that I'm thinking that you guys will give us problems defensively, and I've said this, our linebackers, they're going to have phenomenal games. Alex Anzalone, Jack Campbell, Malcolm Rodriguez, whoever they put in there, they're going to have phenomenal games. And why? Because of Jaden Daniels and what he can do, how he extends plays, and how he extends plays, keeping his eyes downfield to get the ball downfield. You can tell he doesn't necessarily want to run once he breaks out the pocket. He wants to get that ball downfield using his arm. He's very elusive, and the one word, if I had one word to describe that young man, it would be poised. Because everything, he looks to be so poised, so under control all the time, regardless of the chaos that's going around him. So, yeah, that scares me because we can't rush the passer. We haven't been able to rush the passer since we lost Aiden Hutchinson week 6. So that's been our Achilles heels right now, is that quarterbacks can buy 4, 5, 6 seconds back there, and I don't care who you got covering. You can't cover a wide receiver in the NFL or back or anybody in the NFL for that amount of time. So, yes, it's ways that Washington can come in here and can upset the Lions. We just have to be prepared for those ways and have an answer.
So Detroit's defense, as we're kind of talking about here, Lomas, you know, I think when you're in shootouts, the offense is that good, stuff opens up, so maybe it kind of belies the numbers a little bit. How did they pull off what they did against Minnesota? That was a maestro performance, just a magnum opus for Aaron Glenn and company. And that's kind of what's got me nervous, is they got that in them, and I'm wondering if any of that is translatable here to this round.
So the only thing, and I'll say the only thing that I think Jaden and the offense, Cliff Kingsbury, what they're going to have to be concerned with is him seeing different looks and knowing who's the pressure look. Because that's what Aaron Glenn does. Aaron Glenn's going to show you different looks. We got a Fatu Melifonwu, who's a big safety. I'm talking about this dude is in the Steve Atwater class and how big he is. He looks like a linebacker, but he's a safety. We use him to blitz a lot. Of course, our Pro Bowl safety and Brian Branch, he's great at blitzing. But the thing we could do with Brian Branch, he can match up on your third receiver. He's good enough to match up on your third receiver as a nickel DB, and that's the luxury we have with him. And then you have Kirby Joseph, who led the league in interception. This dude, I'm telling you, man, talking about range, he has the range to be in the middle of the field and can cover both sides of the field. So that has afforded us to do some of the things that we've been able to do, like blitz our linebackers in the A-gap or bring guys from the outside blitzing. That's why we've been able to take some of those chances and do that, because we got excellent safeties that can cover up for some things and make up ground if we need it made up. So I'm telling you, Aaron Glenn has just did a masterful job of, like I say, disguising things and sending the pressure at the right point at the right time.
Lomas Brown's illustrious career began in Detroit, drafted sixth overall, seven Pro Bowls, a Super Bowl title, an All-Pro. He joins us on G&D. Lomas, before we let you go, be remiss if I didn't ask you about the atmosphere. I'm flying down there. Cannot wait to see what one of these big game playoff vibes is like in Detroit. It's been the talk of the league the last couple of years in January. What are you expecting with a couple week buildup and the first one seed ever in franchise history?
Oh, my God. You are in for a treat. I just tell you, bring some earplugs. Bring whatever you need to bring to protect your delicate eardrums, because I'm telling you, you are about to experience something. I think this might be on the level, close to the level when Matthew Stafford came back here for the wild card game 2 years ago. Man, I'm telling you, I played in the 91 playoff game against Dallas before we lost to your great Washington Redskins back in 1991. And that was the loudest atmosphere I had ever been in, where you couldn't even talk to the guy standing next to you. I'm telling you, I think it's going to rival that, or rival the Matthew Stafford. That's the closest thing I come to. So I'm telling you, you're in for a treat when you get here in Detroit. And our fans are just so passionate. That's the one thing you're going to see, our passion. Think about it. We've been waiting since the NFL championships to try to get to a Super Bowl. You guys have tasted the glory. You guys have been to the mountaintop several times. We've never been to the base of the mountain. We've never gotten there. We're trying to get up there and see what it's like. Fortunately, as a player, I was able to get there two times, won one, lost one. But the Lions, in this illustrious history, 60-something years is going on, have never been able to say we've gone to the Super Bowl, and that's what we're trying to do this year. And we just see Washington as hopefully another step towards us getting to the Super Bowl.
What's your prediction for this one, Lomas?
I think it's going to be a close game. I know we're used to putting up 30 points, but I think Washington is going to put up points. I think Washington is going to try to steal some possessions from us, because we know both Dans love to go for it. So I'm going to say maybe it's a 31-28 game, but I think it's going to be a close, tight game. And I know Washington, if you keep them close, you're going to give them a chance.
Yeah, you better be careful. Don't give
That's
the ball
right.
to Jaden Daniels late. Lomas, this was tremendous. Really good insight on the Lions helping us scout Detroit. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, I'll find you at Ford Field. There's Lomas Brown from the Lions radio booth on Grant and Danny. We're going to get back into this game next, but Danny Cannell stops by to help us preview the national championship game coming up on Monday in college football. Few better college analysts with more energy than him. Can't wait to see what he thinks about Ohio State and Notre Dame as we get closer to crowning a champion collegiately. You're listening to The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your Thursday. Remember, you can hang out with us. We're out and about tomorrow in Manassas. We're going to be at Uptown Alley preparing for throwing a pep rally ahead of the Commanders and the Lions. The Jaden Daniels Washington run has been meteoric, and the country has fallen in love with this player and this team. We want to talk about the national championship game coming up in 4 days on Monday with our buddy Danny Cannell, who's presented by BetOnline.net. And we'll do that in just a second on the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. But Danny, I actually want to start with Daniels because we talked so much about him with you last year and then ahead of the draft. What do you make of the year he is putting together and the playoff run? Now, the first rookie QB to go on the road and win in the last 9 tries.
I tell you, it has been so much fun to watch this player develop. You mentioned it. He's probably one of the most likable because he genuinely is likable. You know, like there have been some quarterbacks who come in and they might have success and they don't handle it very well, or they're a little cocky and they get ahead of themselves. From the minute he stepped in that building, I feel like he's been the perfect example of how to handle yourself as a pro. He checked his ego at the door. He went to work. I love the pairing. It's also interesting too, because I was actually doing some stuff with CBS Sports HQ, and I remember a lot of people did not love the Dan Quinn hire, but I thought it was a great pairing with bringing in Cliff Kingsbury to help get Jaden Daniels up to speed, to build a system around him would work, with guys like Terry McLaurin, veterans that would help mentor him. And it has been just incredible to watch it, and it's been a ton of fun. And I tell you, I'm not going to call the outright upset, but I guarantee Detroit's probably like, oh crap, we got to play this team. You know, like there's definitely some of that, because they're just that team that kind of is just young enough and naive enough to not realize what they're capable of doing, which is a good thing. And like feeling like, you know what, we can beat anybody, anytime, any place. And I think this is going to be a tough out for Detroit.
So, Danny, one more on Daniels, if you don't mind. You made the jump
from major college, you know, prominent, playing super meaningful games at the highest level, to the NFL. The fact that he's doing this as a rookie, and he doesn't look like a rookie, and only in name only is he a rookie, that's the part I kind of can't get over, right? I mean, can you imagine, go back to the mid to late 90s when you got drafted, and imagine now walking in, it's like, okay, man, we can't really stop anybody. We can't really run it. We don't have any marquee wide receivers opposite 17. But anyway, just if we get the ball late, go win it for us. Like, can you imagine that at that age?
I can't. I really can't. And that's why I do have such an appreciation for guys like Jaden who do come in ready to go. Mentally, I was nowhere near ready to make that jump. It's already a big enough jump to consume an NFL playbook and to handle the workload that comes with the verbiage, with recognizing defenses. But even from the mental standpoint of just being able to handle being a franchise quarterback, being able to be a multimillionaire, for the, like, being a professional athlete where there are a lot of temptations, right? It's easy to, you know, get stuck in that lifestyle and not prioritize the right things. And this is from somebody who was a pretty good kid, but I, you know, all of a sudden I was in New York City and I was able to go to certain parties and movie premieres, and I ate it all up and probably didn't prioritize my time the way that I should have. And just, it took me a while to understand, oh, wait, I'm a franchise, you know, I'm one of 32 guys. I have to kind of button things up and act like a professional, a 30-year-old veteran, but I didn't. And I probably, it took me 3 or 4 years before I realized that, when it was almost too late. So to see somebody that comes in with the mindset that he has, that goes in and talks to Bobby Wagner in the offseason and asks him about the defensive side, what are you guys seeing from me? Like, it's just light years ahead in maturity of where most guys are. So it's just really a testament to him and the mindset that he's come in there with. And I think, again, it goes back to why people like him and like rooting for him, because he is doing things the right way.
Yeah, that part's blown me away. Been absolutely amazing. That's not even talking about the on-the-field excellence. Danny Kanell of BetOnline.net. Check out BetOnline for a plethora of college football playoff final game and players' lines, plus opening odds for the 2026 college football playoff already. We will get to the game, I promise, but I want to sneak in one more, which is to ask you about the 2025 quarterback class. Because it was only a couple of weeks ago, that we found out who's picking where and how the draft order is going to go. It just feels to me like there's not a home run or a slam dunk. I don't know if it's a great year to have the second or third pick, but Shedeur Sanders of Colorado had a big year as a huge arm. Cam Ward is electric as a playmaker. Jalen Milroe I've seen ranked very high. Quinn Ewers is going to the league. I mean, is there somebody that you think separates themselves? What do you make of this 2025 class?
I think it's a bad class, just from top to bottom. Like, and especially when you compare it to last year's class, where you had Jaden Daniels, you had Caleb Williams. I like Drake May a lot. He's already played some. Bo Nix was a guy that I didn't see would have this much success early. He's been great. And a lot of them, their flaws were pretty minor. The flaws in this class, I do think, are more significant when you throw on the tape. And, like, there's not a prototypical 6'5", like Anthony Richardson, who was a potential pick, but he was a specimen, 6'5", and he ran like a 4.4 at the combine. He throws it like 80 yards. You're like, oh, we can see the upside there. There's not that guy. There's not really a guy who has just blown you away throughout his career with, you know, perfect stats or taking over games. But there are two. I think there are two that have separated themselves, and I do put them sort of in a class by themselves. Probably the only two that I would consider in the first round are Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. Like, I wouldn't touch Jalen Milroe. I don't think he's anywhere near polished enough as a passer. I wouldn't touch Quinn Ewers. I think he's had way too much injuries, and his film this year was a little shaky. Jackson Dart, the kid from Ole Miss, I think he's probably an interesting pick in the second round, early second round, maybe late first. But I think it's clear cut for me. Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward are kind of a cut above, but they're totally different. And as you mentioned, like, I think Cam Ward is the upside play because he has the strongest arm and he's the most mobile, and he is a highlight reel when you watch him, but it comes with some really boneheaded mistakes. Like, he'll throw it across his body. He'll hold it too long. He'll make a bad throw. So, like, you got to try to coach that out of him, but man, the playmaking ability is there, sort of like Patrick Mahomes. And then you've got Shedeur Sanders, whose tape is awesome. Like, he is probably the highest football IQ of this class. You can just tell he's been around the game a long time. He's gotten exceptional training. He's played a ton of football. But I do think his arm talent is sort of capped. It doesn't blow you away. He's mobile, but it doesn't really scare opposing defensive coordinators. Like, it's not a Jaden Daniels or, you know, a Caleb Williams or somebody who can really hurt you with his legs. So, or, you know, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. So I think he's like a safe play that he can start, but I just don't know if there's much upside left in him. So me, I have Cam Ward 1 and Shedeur Sanders 2, and I really have those as the only two who I would consider in the first round.
And don't forget, Deion will be coaching the Cowboys, and he'll be trading Dak to move up to get Shedeur, right?
I believe half of that. So I do think – so I think he – I put it at 60% chance that he takes the Cowboys job.
No, and it's already, way. Are you kidding
me? I promise you. So Ed Werder, who is dialed in as anybody with Dallas earlier today, I'm sure you guys saw the reports, he said – if Deion is offered the job, he will take it. And so Jerry's doing his due diligence. He's talking to different people. But Jerry Jones is a risk taker, right? He's just the one that's kind of off the wall enough to make a hire like this. He's always been loyal to his ex-players. Every player that I talked to that played for Jerry, whether they worked for him after as a coach or not, they just say he really looks after his own. And Deion, having spent time in Dallas, it makes a lot of sense. Jerry loves the big-name brands. And here's what's kind of even crazier than the reaction you gave is I think it could actually work. Like, behind the sunglasses, beyond the quotes, beyond the bravado, Deion is a fierce competitor who, when you cross over that line and it's time to go to practice and time to go to work, he holds his players accountable. Now, he lets them have fun and he lets them do a lot of stuff off the field because he's kind of been that type of player himself. But when it's time to go to work, he goes to work. And I do think his messaging would resonate with today's NFL player. So I don't think it's that crazy, and I put it at 60% it happens. I don't think they make the trade. You know, I've seen the trade proposals. It'd be really tough to move off of Dak. I think that Deion would love that to happen, but I think Deion will take his chances and say, you know what, maybe I'll get a couple years with Dak, and then we'll make a move for Shedeur, because I do ultimately think that's his dream of what he would want to do. He's coached Shedeur in peewee football, high school football, college football, and I think he would love to do it in the NFL too.
Danny Cannell with us here on Grant and Danny. We got to get you back on to talk about that if and when it does happen. But but we do have a national title game here coming up. What's the story of this game to you? Like, where is this kind of won and lost? The kind of the fulcrum, that tipping point? Is it Notre Dame's offensive line against this Ohio State front? Is it vice versa? Give me your thought there.
Yes, I think it's, can Notre Dame like withstand the initial onslaught that Ohio State's going to throw at them? Because Ohio State, we've seen the juggernaut they are offensively. There's firepower all over the place. Jeremiah Smith, who probably would be a top five pick if he was eligible, he's just a freshman. Their wide receiver has been awesome. Do they have a game plan for him? And then if you do, can you slow down Emeka Buka, who's probably a day two NFL draft pick, their second wide receiver? And then if you stop those two, you got to stop a couple of the backs in the backfield and Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, who are probably going to be some of the top running backs off the board. There's NFL talent all over the place. And they have an edge on defense too. They're a $20 million roster for a reason. And Notre Dame is like this patchwork of players. Like, their offensive line, as you mentioned, they just lost another left tackle. And it's kind of interesting because they've actually gone full circle. To start the season, they lost their starting left tackle, Jagasaw, who actually might be playing in this game after returning from a bicep injury. He did play a little bit last week. He might return to his initial starting role of left tackle after missing most of the season. And then they also lost a guard in the game against Penn State. So they're like piecing all these things together. Jeremiah Love, their running back's wearing a leg brace, and he's out there still willing his way to a win. Can their defense, who by the way lost their best defensive player, their top tackler and tackle for loss and sack guy, Riley Mills, was lost for the season in the Indiana game. They are just like the story of perseverance, of resilience. Can they pull it together for one last effort and kind of bring Ohio State in the mud? Like, can they bring them in the slop and make it an ugly game? And I think they can. Like, there's something about them that just is pretty special. And as good as Ohio State can be, we've seen them struggle with the more physical teams up front. It's been the question mark. They lost to Michigan, who was not anywhere near as talented. Texas found a game plan to contain Jeremiah Smith. So I do think Notre Dame can make this a game. And if they do, that's another reason I like the under in this one as well, because even if they do get blown out and it does get a little bit sideways, I think you've got two ways to win the under. One, Notre Dame pulls them down and it's an ugly kind of defensive game and they're able to control Ohio State's offense. But if Ohio State dominates, I don't see them putting up 50 points. I could see them putting up 32, 35 points. And I don't think Notre Dame is able to score a lot of points. And I think it could be like a 35-7, 35-10 type of game if it gets sideways. But I kind of like the sweet spot of like a 21-17, 24-21 type of game. That would be the under with a Notre Dame cover.
That feels like what Notre Dame kind of wants to do, right?
They would love it to be, yes. Exactly.
Muck it up. Check out Bet Online for the top college football playoff final game and player lines, plus opening odds for the 2026 college football playoff. You see why we love Danny Cannell. Nobody better to talk the college game with. Thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
You guys are phenomenal, man. Good luck this weekend against the Lions. I'll be right. Everybody's rooting for the Commanders. Why not? They're fun to root for.
Yeah, they're becoming that team at this point, which is crazy to think about because the Lions were, after Hard Knocks, America's team for a couple of years. Speaking of those Commanders that Danny Cannell and America's fallen in love with, let's give you a comm spotlight next on G&D. Capitals in action tonight. So are the Wizards. They both play right at 7 o'clock. The Wizards home, welcoming the Phoenix Suns and Brad Beal back to town. Beal will not play for 19-20 Phoenix. If you're a Wiz fan, you want them to keep losing because you swapped for a bunch of their draft picks. And as they lose more and more, those picks get better and better. Meanwhile, a 7 o'clock start time where they'll drop the puck in Ottawa for the Capitals, who right now are the best team in the National Hockey League. We had a great conversation yesterday with Jacob Chychrun. If you missed that during the Blitz, you should podcast it at thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. A lot of good content came out of that interview on the Caps, Danny, but most notably asking him about his future. If you're a Caps fan, you're obviously very intrigued about whether or not they're going to be able to get a deal done with him. He sounded very, very hopeful, said that he loves it here, so does his wife. And then he hopes something happens sooner than later. Yeah, look, he's not going to tell us exactly what's going on, but you can't ask for a better answer than that.
Without a doubt. And he is incredible. He if he's not their best player, he's their second best player this year. You know, we talk about this all the time when it comes to the Caps. They always, when they bring somebody in, they get the best version of that guy. Their scouting staff, the GM, everybody on down, and there's coaching, player development, whatever. They have the best shooting percentage of anybody in the world, as far as I'm concerned. Like the Brett Connolly corollary, or a guy that was fine, comes here and plays great, and is instrumental.
Even the good players become stars, like Oshie.
Like Oshie.
Those types.
And Chychrun fits that bill. I watched that guy go about it, and I go, the idea that a player like that was available, so many people made so many mistakes. Like, how could you let that guy out of your building? He is splendid.
Tonight, 7 o'clock for the Wiz and the Caps. You can hear the Caps right here on The Fan. All right, let's give you a Commander's spotlight. Danny, let's go through some of the players who have the pressure on them going into this weekend.
I'll start with the starting running back. Spotlight on Brian Robinson Jr. It has not been good of late here. And of late isn't just a week or two. This is a couple of months plus now of him really struggling, him not finding holes, whether it's a vision issue, whether it's a health issue, whether it's an offensive line issue. I have no idea. I'm not smart enough to tell you what the problem is. I think the problem is everything, to be honest with you. But they need something out of their run game. I don't think the staff is just going to go away from Robinson. So spotlight on Brian Robinson. You need something out of the run game to keep the football.
I'll stay on offense for a moment. Spotlight De'Ami Brown coming off of his best game of the season. And for my money, the best game of his career. 5 catches, 89 yards, and a touchdown. I keep saying this. He was running people over. He looked like a different, inspired, physical receiver. And he's playing for a contract, obviously. He is a free agent, closing in now on the end of year 4. Can he replicate that performance? He's going to get opportunities. You know that all the attention in the secondary of Detroit is going to start with Terry McLaurin. So somebody else needs to step up. Maybe it's De'Ami time, 2.0.
Yeah, you could take the jersey color and like blur out the face and play Anquan Boldin or De'Ami Brown, and you wouldn't know the difference based on those highlights from this past week. I'll flip to defense real quick. Marshawn Lattimore. Hey, bud. Hey, pal. Need you to step it up, okay? This is a really tough challenge. This group, talking about Detroit's wide receiver core, is tough for anybody to cover. They're in motion. They line up in different places every time. It's a track meet whenever those guys are out there. This is not really the strength of nearly anybody to kind of run with this kind of group or try to be physical with them. A lot of these guys wouldn't get wet in the shower just because they can maneuver around. But this is a tough test. It's why you were brought here. It's just why we're here. It's just why we're here. I need my ace corner to step up and make a play.
Commander's spotlight on Frankie Luvu. Luvu had a huge game against Dallas, made 9 tackles, had a TFL, was quieter against the Bucs. And you kind of thought he would be because of the matchup. Mm-hmm. They were running some of the outside stuff like the Falcons did, which just keeps him running around and on the second level. But I'd like to see them find a way against Detroit, stand him up, get him rushing the quarterback, move him around. When this defense is really good, he's got TFLs. He's got pressure and quarterback hits. You know, it has been now 4 games since he hit the quarterback. You got to go back to that Tennessee game where he had a sack and 2 hits on Will Levis. They need Frankie Luvu not just to be the normal, stout, awesome linebacker that he's been every single week, but to be an impactful playmaker would be big if he could turn the ball over in this game.
2 of their 3 highest paid players in terms of salary cap allocation line up right next to each other. There's no Kevin Zeitler in this game, okay? We know that now. His backup is still probably pretty good. That unit for Detroit is outstanding. But what's the point of paying Daron Payne and John Allen if not for games like this? This offense is excellent. They are. They're good. They're good against everybody. They shove it on all comers, okay? The idea, though, is combined, you guys are making around $50 million. Make some plays. You got to have some negative plays. You got to penetrate. You got to bother people. Get in Jared Goff's face. Truckload somebody back in the line of scrimmage and disrupt timing on plays. Any interior runs got to be swallowed up by you. The games of your collective lives, Daron Payne and John Allen, the gauntlet hath been thrown down. It's not fair, to be honest with you, of what's needed here, but you make the most, and this is the time. If they're going to go to the NFC title game, those two guys have to have a nice game.
How about Brandon Coleman at left tackle? Spotlight on him. I thought he struggled in Tampa. This is the biggest game of his career, and it's not easy, my friend. The good news is you don't have to deal with Yaya Diaby, because Yaya Diaby is a good Yaya Diaby.
He is.
Of all the Yaya Diabys I've ever Yaya'd, he's the Diaby Yaya.
He's the number one.
Yeah. Yaya Diaby can Yaya all the way to Diaby. Mm-hmm. But Brandon Coleman, while he won't have to deal with Yaya Diaby, is going to have to deal with noise. He's going to have to deal with atmosphere. It's going to be tougher just to get off on the football, on the snap, right? Just to not essentially get beat by the environment. I like the matchup personnel-wise against Detroit's edge rushers without Aiden Hutchinson, who's still hurt, better than I like the Yaya Diaby, Vita Vea, Kalijah Kancey front of Tampa Bay. But Coleman's got to bounce back pretty big time. Wasn't like he was terrible, but he just had too many plays that he wanted back. And one of those could be a game changer, right? Like Jaden Daniels hasn't lost a fumble, I don't think, all season at this point, believe it or not, which is crazy. We should talk more about that. But a sack fumble, a lost fumble, something like that could be the end of momentum. You could be down 7 or 10, and now they go up 17. Like, you just can't have one of those plays at tackle.
Yeah, to your point. Aiden Hutchinson hasn't played since week 6, and he still leads the team in sacks, talking about Detroit. They acquired Za'Darius Smith in trade, but nobody's equaled the 7.5 that Hutchinson was on his way to 20-something as his season was progressing. Let me go spotlight right here on Tyler Biadasz. When he's healthy, when he's been available, this offense has been better, right? It's all the line calls. You already mentioned this, GP, when it came to Brandon Coleman, but the communication is going to be pivotal. It's pivotal in any relationship, let alone that offensive line when it's a jet engine basically everywhere around you and you can't hear diddly or squat. That high-level communication has to happen. You can't have those negative plays, those, oh, I thought the snap count was on 2, but you went on 1, or this silent count, or this false start, or I snapped it prematurely. Those things cannot happen in this game against this excellent offense.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. More on the Commanders and the Lions coming up at the top of the hour. As soon as we return, though, wait till you hear how much money Brock Purdy is projected to get on the open market by at least one NFL analyst. It is a crazy amount of money. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.